were anticipated to be considered, things that are important, many things that we wanted to have, many things that we didn't. But either way, they died and completely out of context. In other words, the legislature doesn't do what it's intended to do. But the reason why I'm saying this at the beginning of this presentation is Texas Sure is one of those things that I had hoped would feed off of some of the other bills as far as what it cleaned up and what it wouldn't clean up. I do think, and I still do think, even though I didn't see any firm proof of that through this last legislative session, that we are all in our capacity as municipal court judges, that there is a slow shift of cases and from a criminal standpoint to a push toward administrative adjudication, whatever you want to hear. But there is a push to create a kind of civil or administrative enforcement of traffic offenses. And as part of that, I think we have to have a couple things that are going to happen. A lot of technology is occurring. Y'all probably heard me say something about this before. I don't know, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But the red light cameras, the North Texas area where I come from is one of those that is a very vicious area as far as enforcement. Red light cameras, most of the cities in the Dallas-Fort Worth area had adopted a home rule municipality ordinance that authorized the use of red light cameras. At the time they did that, they did so without any kind of state support as far as a state statute. In fact, the State Department, Texas Department of Transportation, kind of a funny, I've actually seen the letter. In the letter, City of Denton notified TxDOT that we were going to be placing some of these red light cameras on their highways because we have kind of a strange statistic, but City of Denton, because of where we are just north of Dallas-Fort Worth, it's where I-35, W&E come together, and we have a whole bunch of other highways in the north part of the state that come through there. We have more square miles of state highway per capita than any other city in the state of Texas. But the only reason I tell you that is because at the time we had a lot of TxDOT controlled or Texas Highway funded roads, and when we said we were going to put red light cameras up, they sent back the letter and it says, you do not have authorization to do so. If you place red light cameras up, they will be removed, considered as rubbish or trash, and will be removed at your expense. Have a nice day. In other words, the State Department of Transportation said, no, you can't go automated because the cities in North Texas were doing it, and I think the state believed that they were not supportive of that because it wasn't a state statute as one. There's also another issue there. At the time that was passed, who was keeping all the revenue from those red light cameras? The city. 100% of that was going to the city. So I think there was a view toward the money that could be made from it. And the other thing I'll try to tie together with that is particularly in our part and around Austin, it's darn hard to drive through Austin or parts of Austin without getting on a toll road. I mean, it's really amazing. In fact, there was one, and I swear it was a trick because I thought, I'm not going to pay your stupid little toll. And I went all the access roads to get around it, and they went back up onto the highway. And I went, that was a trick. And I mean, there was a sign, and there was no toll, but there was no way off that road. And it was, of course, the idea of making some money. I'm not saying that's not necessarily one of those things the government's going to have to deal with. But as part of that, they're going toward a total automation standpoint. You know what I'm talking about? When you go down the toll roads, and if you used to have a little booth with a person sitting there, and you could hand your money into them. Well, I don't have a Texas toll tag, although everyone else in my family does, but most people do, and it's automated. So what they've gone to in most of the new toll roads in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's completely automated. It has just this little card reader that reads it, or they read your license plate, and they send you a bill. And if you don't have their card, then it means that you also are paying a higher rate. And so they take that and they will send it to you. And I've also noticed some of the two of the JP courts in our county started issuing warrants for people who fail to pay toll. And I know that there's a process for making it. But short and long of it's this, is that they have taken the automated road toward money or revenue generation. And I think the downside of all that is, just like I was saying a little bit this morning, is the impression it's giving the public is it's all about the money. Automation offers a lot of good things for our courts. Most of you, of course, should be charging, if your city ordinance allows it, a technology fee, and that technology fee goes toward purchasing computers for the courts or the software. Kind of an irony in our city, they The city always did this internal process of billing us for the computers we used. We started charging the technology fee, and our fee to the city doubled. In other words, they make the money and they charge it back. It's a complex issue. But my fear is this, is I hate to see a growing trend toward administrative process. I think that technology is great, but when we take out the human element, and that means us and our ability to make some discretionary calls and decisions, then I think we've lost a lot for our public. But now, let's talk about TechSure and how that all ties in. The title, as I put it, was TechSure, Bringing Insurance Verification in the 21st Century. A lot of people have no clue what TechSure is, and I'm amazed that after 2 years of in which it was created 2 years ago, or the beginnings of it, very few people know what TechSure is. TechSure, as it says, is a new vehicle insurance verification system that will ultimately allow law enforcement, county tax officials, and vehicle inspectors to confirm whether a vehicle in Texas has required personal auto liability insurance coverage. Now, the first time that I put on this presentation was in September of 2008, or maybe August of 2008, but it was in Tyler, and at the time, although TechSure had been created with some direction from the Texas legislature, no part of it was in existence back at the end of, in March or April when they first started creating it. It slowly began to take effect, but during that time, there really wasn't much information out there. And so I put together this presentation of slide information, kind of a funny story that goes with it when I put it together. I went to TechSure website. So many of the slides that you see here, much of the information is really collected off of TechSure's website itself. Kind of freaked me out because of one of the very first time that I presented, apparently, when I started showing the slides, there was a guy sitting here like in the first or second row, and he was like reading out the slides one in advance of when I started talking about them. And I thought, that's kind of bizarre. And then he goes, well, I'm sitting here reading it from the Tyler paper, and the Tyler paper had reprinted all the slides from the TechSure website. So again, if you have any questions about TechSure and its general application, go to the TechSure website and we'll answer some of those. At the time that this first slide was created, there was also, and I took this from TechSure, and I want you to look carefully at who it lists. It says it will ultimately allow law enforcement, county tax officials, and vehicle inspectors to confirm whether a vehicle in Texas has required personal automobile liability insurance. As we go through the rest of this presentation, I want you to pick up what is an error on that slide. But again, I didn't come up with the first slide. What TechSure is supposed to do is supposed to reduce the number of uninsured vehicles in Texas. It's expected to help stop the actions some other state to avoid the law. In the city of Denton, as I was saying a little bit this morning, we have two major universities. It's kind of strange because very few people know those universities exist. Shows the importance of NCAA athletics, because in those, even if you have a small university, if it has NCAA high profile thing, everyone knows about it. But the city of Denton has almost 50,000 students because they have 35,000 or so from the University of North Texas and almost 15,000 from Texas Women's University. So that's a lot of people. Well, students are also particularly computer savvy. And in the city of Denton, we've had a growing problem, or we had a growing problem, of people who had insurance cards, kind of like that theory, how can I be out of money? I still have checks. There was a clerk working at one of our local 7-Elevens who was a student at UNT, had a reputation far and wide. He could hook you up with the State Farm auto insurance policy piece of paper, Farmers, Allstate. He had the major companies. He had three major companies, I remember. And he had somehow gotten his hands on the card stock that they were printed on. It's kind of like, it's one of those things that most companies produce, and it has, the watermark on it and so forth. And he had gotten hold of those. And he knew, and he could also, he would sell you one of those for $15, but for another $10, he could give you the series of numbers that would typically appear from their policies. Because when you call those companies, what they will do is they will confirm, but they'll look for the numbers. It starts off with TX156, and then they'll usually have letters. He knew the sequence of letters, and he knew the the form so that you could at least match what would normally be a State Farm policy, an Allstate policy. He would give you that information. For $40, you could walk away with a card. That was about 3 or 4 years ago, or actually maybe a little bit more before that, but my court started the City Municipal Court did start a program of insurance verification. You have to know my court administrator. She's a law and order kind of person, and so she always wants to follow the rules. She took upon herself to call in and verify all the insurance policies that are presented. That's a fairly common process. I will also tell you this, in the transportation code, it does authorize, in fact, it says the court shall confirm the existence. Now, how specifically it requires you to do that, but how many people in here have an insurance verification process for their courts? So a few do. How many of you feel like you might be receiving, for those of you who don't, who might feel that the insurance proof that you are being provided with is not actually there? Yeah, it's a problem. I will tell you that statistically, and actually I don't, San Angelo is a city that's a lot like Denton, so I'll throw out our number. I found that 1 out of every 3 policy cards presented to us was either fraudulent, expired, or maybe never existed at all. Jay, what would you say your statistics are? Yeah, 1 out of 3 in my experience. Now, sometimes, and I have to admit this, that sometimes the police officers don't ask people that have apparently nice cars or appear to be wealthy enough to have it. So, it, you know, statistically may be a little bit skewed. Yes, sir. Will it pick up excluded drivers? The answer to this under Texas Sure is probably not right now, because that kind of that level of detail offered under Texas Sure is not on the system yet. But I'm hoping that it will be at some point. Now we call in all the proof that we get, every single one of them, and we call the underwriter. We do not call the agent. We call the underwriter. Why? Because unfortunately, we had a number of agents in town that were willing to, when called, they would verify that a policy existed. Maybe they hadn't sent in that. We had one particularly, and I won't mention his name, like Jen Scanlon, who was actually charging the client for the money. Had either had not sent it in or had no intention of sending it in. If you called his office, they would verify that insurance policy existed. If you call the underwriter, they'd say, we've never received any payment. We don't know who this person is. They're not on our system. That started a trend where we now call, we require calling the underwriter. And my judicial assistant, she has a long list of underwriters' phone numbers. So if you put in the name of the company, she calls the number she has. She doesn't just call the number on the policy. She will use the number on the policy as a secondary source if she can't find one. And actually, I'll tell you that on that one case, the agent that was selling or giving us that information, we reported him to the State Board of Insurance, and I don't know exactly what happened, whether they did send an investigator with some follow-up calls, but beyond that, I don't know. The other part of that process, at least in my court, is that we do have them sign an affidavit that their insurance proof is good and valid. It's a sworn document. And on 4 or 5 occasions, we've had the Denton County District Attorney's Office, based on that document alone, when forwarded over there to the District Attorney's Office, our District Attorney's Office has accepted the charge, and every single one of those people took a plea when they went to the county court. So, and you could even file it as presentation of a false document to a government, in other words, tampering with a governmental record, which is a felony charge. So there are some ways and some you know, hammers that you have in that particular case. But we call in every single case, and we've done so for quite some time. So when Texas Sure first came up, my clerks were going, wow, that's great. Now we have this electronic process. We can verify it online. We can get all this information, take care of it. And that is, of course, the ultimate goal of Texas Sure, is to provide a system, an electronic system of verification, just to confirm that the policy was not only at one time good, but it's still good at the time of the inquiry. When did Texas Sure begin operations? Well, as I said, they didn't really start until June of 2008. And when it did, DPS, I will have to say, I feel sorry for them very often, because DPS is tasked with putting in effect a number of processes that the legislature throws at them. For that matter, the surcharge system was one that DPS was not geared up for, and suddenly the legislature just says, here, it's your problem. Figure it out. How are we going to enforce it? Well, Texas sure was kind of that way. I have talked a couple of times to Sherry Skyby, who is she's the director of DPS. Mark, do you know her title? She's way on up there, and she's the general supervisor that's over one of her two divisions is Texas Sure. And she was even saying, a lot of this information I don't have. We're working toward it. We're trying to work out the bugs, but there are a lot of problems to it to be worked out. So Texas DPS began in June of 2008, and it was originally only in the Austin area. Texas DPS came back and said it worked well, that they liked it, and then it expanded. I know that it is currently in use in the North Texas area around Dallas-Fort Worth. It's also in use around Houston. It's in use around San Antonio and Austin. Beyond that, I have no idea. How many people in here are using, how many people are, or your police departments are using Texas Sure? And where are you from? Okay. Hazel, yeah, I knew you would. Yes. So, and when you, how did you find that out that they were using Texas Sure? Oh, really? They wrote it on the ticket, which raises the question about whether or not they... Oh, and that's when they got confirmation that there was no policy. How did you find it? How did you find out? Oh, on the... Okay, police radios. Yeah. Well, and of course, there's a true advantage there, is that if you're scanning the radios, you'll hear that. And they use it. It's done by radio. It's done, you know, as a communication device. I've also been told that they have it on PD, what are those on? PDAs, PDRs? The units inside the car. The fancy computers that cost so much. Kind of a funny detail that we had a police officer had a kind of bad accident, and our lieutenant didn't mean to be this way, but as soon as she heard there was an accident, she called him and said, is the car okay? First question out of her mouth, is the car okay? And it goes, no, but thanks for asking about me. And he was okay as well. But the car, those cars and most of the electronics in them, they said on average a car in Texas is worth about $60,000 to $70,000, of which about $40,000 or more is only in the electronics. $40,000 worth of electronics in a car. That's one heck of a stereo system. So... how does Texas Sure benefit drivers? Well, of course, the theory is that it's going to help by reducing the number of uninsured vehicles. And I was recently involved in a traffic accident. Guy pulled out right in front of me, T-boned him, so I had to go buy a new Z. But after that, my wife goes, why did you want a car like that? Because I can. My first thing went through my head was, oh my gosh, this guy, he doesn't look like he has insurance. I'll be darned if he didn't. But he had it wasn't his car, it wasn't his insurance policy, it wasn't even someone he knew real well who had the insurance policy. And when I walked up on him after the accident, his car was just caved in, and I walked up and I said, are you okay? And he goes, Judge, I was just on my way to see you. And I went, this isn't good. And he said, you just let me out of jail, and they didn't give me my cell phone, so can I have my cell phone back? And I said, first things first, let's get you out of the car. And it was a little awkward when he was standing there, and unfortunately a Denton police officer walks up and wants to, you know, and I'm going, oh gosh, this is not good. And he looks over at me when the police officer says, sir, I need you to sign the citation. And he looks over at me and goes, I don't guess it's going to do any good to fight this, is it? As it was, our prosecutor ended up dismissing it for reasons of you know, impropriety. So it was refiled. I don't even know what happened to it. But I was shocked that he had insurance. And even his insurance, or the insurance company that I talked to, said, how is this person driving the car? And I said, I don't know. I just met him in jail. And that set a good tone. But there are so many people. We're going to, the way they're going to, well, here's a statistic. Estimates are that law-abiding motorists pay almost $1 billion in extra costs in insurance premiums every year due to the fact that we have so many people who are driving without insurance. Now, there was a time that $1 billion would have sounded like just a massive sum to me. About 6 months ago, $1 billion was a lot of money. Now I'm thinking $70 billion. That's no big deal. So our whole scales of what's expensive. But $1 billion, when I first made this presentation, was a huge sum of money. Now it's not even an interest payment. How many uninsured vehicles? It's estimated that in Texas, 1 in 5 Texas vehicles are 1 in 5 is uninsured. That's nearly 4 million cars driving around the state of Texas, or about 20% of the vehicles on the highway, according to state official records, are not covered by auto insurance. Do other states have programs like this? Yes, many. 30 other states. And some of them are quite detailed and work quite wonderfully. Texas has always been a bit of a maverick about that. We never want to take anything at face value. In fact, really from that standpoint, I was lamenting this to someone else that was, you know, silly enough to listen to me rant, but earlier today, and that is that, you know, we really have not done a very good job in this state of starting out, perhaps it required that we do so years ago, of having any kind of true movement toward technological advance in the courts. We have said all of our courts are required, if they have, you know, computerization, and I can't see how you could run any court almost without it now, but we all bought our own separate software systems, our own separate processes. Many other states, I'll use Indiana, Ohio, and New Jersey as examples. Their states started 20 or 25 years ago, developing systems that maybe they weren't perfect, but over the years they tried to knock those bugs out. But the important thing is every court in that state uses the same software and the same application. Many states have a system that feeds in for all state courts. So if you have county court or state court, district court, of course, they're called different things in various states. But all levels of court fed into the same system. All reports came out in the same format. In this state, and I guess there's a good part of that, Texas, you know, well, we really look at ourselves as a kind of a separate nation, don't we? We really do. And so from that standpoint, even from county to county and city to city, and there are some things that I really think are great about the fact that the court where I work is not operated the same as the court where you work. You know, that we as judges have different processes and procedures is a part about that that's very good. But at the same time, from a technological standpoint, it means that all of us are reinventing the wheel all the time and that we all have to come up with our own funding to try to make these things work. But in those other states, those 30 other states are all varying forms. The most efficient process is the one in which, you know, your driver's licenses are barcoded now. And there's a lot of information loaded on that barcode. In those other states, that barcode, and we're getting there, we're beginning to develop our database, but that barcode will reflect when your insurance is good and when it's not. And in some one state, I'm not sure exactly which, it said in essence, if your license, that your license was invalidated if your insurance didn't show to be valid at the time. And in those states, all those state insurance companies report when someone has failed to make a payment or the policy has lapsed due to some other condition. So they notify the state, it goes on to your license, and so when you present your driver's license, that police officer will know that. That's where we're going with Texas Sure, and it's kind of there, but it's not near as defined as what you could find in some other states. Not yet. In those other states that did institute some change through technology, they, of course, all report, and this, of course, is according to Texas Sure's website, they all reported that some type of program did result in a reduction in the number of uninsured vehicles. I'm not sure how they really knew that, but we'll go with it. Who's behind Texas Sure? Well, this is where there's one on here that I wasn't even aware of until I started looking into it. Getting uninsured motorists off the road is a collaborative effort. In fact, in our state, the Texas Sure database is a joint project of the Texas Department of Insurance, TDI. I'd heard of them before, the Texas Department of Transportation, or TxDOT. I've certainly heard of them. Texas Department of Public Safety, I heard of them since the very first day I wanted a driver's license, but also the Texas Department of Information Resources, or the DIR. Just so I don't feel quite as stupid, how many people in here have ever heard of the Department of Information Resources? You have. Why would you know that? Okay. Well, yeah, the Texas Department of Information Resources, of course, they're a creative for purchasing processes and so forth, and of course they are largely in control of the processes. Texas DPS is supposed to be in control of the implementation, but the Texas Department of Insurance, or TDI, is supposed to be the lead agency with primary responsibility for the project. Now, let me ask you this. For those of you who are verifying insurance, do y'all ever have the instance in which a insurance company refuses to give you information regarding the insurance policy? It happens all the time. My court coordinator calls in every day. She calls probably 30 or 40 cases in each morning. And I'd say probably 5 or 6 of those to this day, every day, still say, I'm sorry, but that is a matter, it's a privacy issue. I understand the importance of keeping your clients happy, but it's kind of like HIPAA. Talk about the most abused law I've ever seen. I remember calling my doctor's office and asking for some information. They said, I'm sorry, sir, that's private information. Yeah, but that would be my private information. Well, no, sir, we can't release that information to you. Now, I'll fax you a release. No, we can't release that to the patient. I'm going, what? That doesn't make any sense. It's my records. But that's kind of the truth with insurance. What is it? And my argument would normally be with most of these insurance companies is it helps your product if everyone has to have it, right? And if people know that they can stand behind the privacy issue, what's their incentive to get the insurance and keep the insurance? But there are a number. In fact, one of the largest ones, and I think it's probably a very good insurance company, Allstate Insurance, at least our regional office, refused to provide us with information. We had to go through a long series of letters back and forth, and we reached an agreement with them, whereby my court assistant will call, and when she calls, she gives them a password. And I understand that verification issue. And then when she gives them that password, they will only answer yes or no questions. So she has a script. You know, I'm calling on from the Denton Municipal Court to confirm insurance coverage for John Smith on a red Honda on such and such date and time. Now, we also go by the time because I think there's something else that's happened over the last 3 or 4 years, and that is that this e-surance and various online insurance companies, I was amazed at the number of people that would go home after receiving a citation, immediately get on the internet and go and purchase a policy. And that same day, they would have a policy that said, you know, if you were looking for January the 15th, they could show you a card that said they had insurance on January the 15th. Most of those companies are not willing to backdate the policy for obvious reason that then they could be compelled to pay for damages for an accident that had just occurred. But they will give you the exact time. Well, he obtained insurance at 12:59, and the citation was issued at 9 o'clock in the morning. So in those particular cases, although they'll say, but I had a card that was good on that date, our answer is no, I'm sorry, it's declined. Now, we have a hearing program. Every time someone submits it and we can't get verification, we notify them of a hearing date. That affidavit I talked about provides them with an address they have to fill out. We send them that notification to that address. If they don't come, then the motion is denied for request for dismissal. If they come, they have another opportunity to explain what the situation was. And many of them still go, well, you know, I guess I could have missed a payment. You know, they'll give you that whole 9 yards. But we will call in court in their presence if we have to. And some of the companies still would refuse to until we had the individual there. I'm going, so how do you know that you're still really talking to the person? So she will call. She'll say, okay, I'm going to hand the phone to you. And I don't know if they have to give them their secret password or some kind of a secret telephone handshake. I'm not sure how they do it, but they'll usually come back with verification if it's there. How much is Texas Sure going to cost the state and how is it funded? Well, it's really pretty simple. They claim $7 million. And in this economy, that's a bargain. I don't know if I can't buy much on a state contract for $7 million, but they say it's going to cost about $7 million, and the money comes from a portion of the $1 fee that drivers pay when they apply for or renew their motor vehicle registration. So that's how it's supposed to be paid. Probably by the end of this year, we'll have some statistics on how much they really have been, how much the program's cost, and expansion thus far. although because they really haven't implemented it on a full state basis. And in fact, those who have had contact with Texas Sure, is it your police agency that's using it? Yours? Okay. Because some, at first, it's only DPS troopers. And so if you were a JP, yeah, you were having access to that, but not anything else. What information is included in the database, and do drivers have access to the database? This is one slide that I think will kind of surprise you or kill you. The Texas Sure database includes vehicle registration information, such as VIN or vehicle identification number, owner name, address, make and model and year, and insurance policy information such as address, insured drivers, insurance company name, and policy effective dates. Now, he had asked a question about excluded drivers. I still, right now, from what I've been told, is although it will tell which drivers are on the policy, it will not indicate the excluded drivers. For those of you who aren't familiar, of course, particularly for people trying to save a little money, when you have a child in the household that is of driving age, most insurance companies will require that you disclose that, and you have to list them on your policy, and they'll say, do you want to have them insured? And if you say no, they will list them as what's called an excluded driver, which means that even if they're driving your vehicle, even if the insurance policy was good and they're involved in an accident, they will not pay a claim on that. It does get your insurance policy levels and the premiums reduced, but it means that you have a child that's not covered. Yes? Right now, it's primarily keyed on the registration number. In fact, this is really a very complex answer. They're trying to develop an entire database, which is coming in from all different sources. So ideally, when the system is finally in place, probably in the next millennium, when the system is finally in place, it will work off of both driver's license numbers, registration numbers, and the policy number. So it'll all cross-check. It really started out, right now, the only time that it's really being captured is on registration. The insurance companies have pledged that they will report the information to the state, but from what I understand, it's been sketchy thus far. Registration information is where it's coming in primarily, and that is, of course, when you go in to renew your registration, they do ask, you know, can I see a copy of your insurance? They make a copy, and they're supposed to introduce that. Also, when you go in to get your driver's license renewed, they will ask you for a copy of your insurance. Although, I don't think it's required that you have that to get your driver's license. So there's a hole right there. Not everybody will show it. Not everybody will have it. And you don't have to have insurance to get a driver's license. They're also going to try to tie it together with, that was kind of a shock. The last time I had to go and get my driver's license, and they said, put your thumbs up here on this thing, you know, and they got both thumbs. And so they're capturing all that data. And slowly over time, that database will grow. But right now, it's primarily coming in through the registration information from county tax officials. The last line on that is, only authorized users have access to the database. That means, do you have access to the database as a driver? And the answer is absolutely not. If you were to call Texas Sure and ask them, they will say, call your insurance company. Thank you very much, you know. And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't know if my insurance company's reporting that I have insurance with them. I don't know how current the information is. And right now, even the vehicle registration, how often do you get your vehicle registered? Once a year. How often do policies lapse? I don't know about you, but the people in my court, particularly with the students, they'll go, and of course the first offense is, I have a card. And their second defense is, my mom or dad was supposed to pay for it. And then their third defense is, you know, I think I paid him a check and it got returned. So they have no clue. Yes? And I think realistically that's the only way. Now, I have heard of those other states. New Jersey is one in which they claim there's a law that requires that all insurance agencies that have authorization to write policies in the state of New Jersey must on a daily basis report policies that have lapsed, changed, or terminated. So they're reporting that information electronically. Now, there's a part of it that's a legal issue with us, and there's a part of that that's a sheer technology mass information problem. Yes? You have 2 weeks to do what? Yeah. How now it goes back for. Now, is that being maintained? Do you know where that database is coming from? Because I have a feeling that's an insurance industry-driven database. And I don't think that's a governmental database. And what's here, funny here is, I'll bet you that the insurance database is more accurate, more timely than the government's database through Texas SURE. Why? What's the incentive? Insurance companies are protecting themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what they're doing. They're going, we're not taking the risk of having somebody. So I'll bet you. And the only thing that frustrates the heck out of me, see, I didn't even know that fact, is why can't we get that database? You know, I mean, there's a lot of information right there. And that information is not shared. I think sometimes insurance companies are, well, we all, and Americans in general, and Texans specifically, it is fundamental basis of our mentality government-wise. And I think this is one of the greatest things about America, is that we always doubt our government. That's a healthy thing. It's kind of weird in a sense. But we have to, so I think there's a part where we will trust State Farm, or we will trust, you know, whatever our, you know, whatever agency, whatever insurance company's there, but we won't trust our own government to some extent. And sometimes I don't think we trust anybody, including insurance companies. So, yeah. I have some stock that you would know. Well, no, because we'll bail them out eventually anyway. How Texas SURE will obtain insurance information. Again, this was the beginning of the year. Every week, according to Texas SURE website, insurance provide policyholders auto insurance information to Texas SURE. They may actually be working toward whatever however they're contributing to this database, because she's saying it's as far back as 2 weeks. They may be using whatever they send electronically to this insurance database, they may be sending it to the state. I don't know. And Sherry Skybuyer didn't seem to know either where it was all coming from. The information is matched to state driver's license and motor vehicle records. One of the problems with, of course, registration is every year. How often do you have to get your driver's license renewed? So there's a little bit of a problem there. Yeah, mine was actually 6. Some people 4, some people 2. If a match of insurance and state records cannot be found, the registrar will be contacted to help identify and correct the problem. I have yet to hear of anybody who's been contacted by Texas SURE to ask them to help rectify an issue. But then again, it's not like I walk up to people on the street and go, hey, how's that Texas SURE thing working out for you? But they claim that less than 1% of all reported insurance policies cannot be matched to the Texas SURE program. And I'm only wondering, if you don't know how many people have it, how do you know what 1% of them do? Anyway, electronic verification, electronic Texas SURE system will automatically check whether your vehicle is properly insured each time you register or renew your vehicle registration or have any inquiry by law enforcement office. That second part is about the only time you really begin to hear about it, law enforcement. When is an inquiry from law enforcement? When is that happening? Traffic stop for any kind of violation. Although, I'll tell you this, about 6 months ago, I was walking in one of the cities. I work for a bunch of different cities, and I do the jails. So I hang out with criminals all the time. In fact, that's really who knows me in town, is all the convicted felons. Have you ever had those that go, you know, Judge, you're real fair. In fact, I would vote for you. And I'm going, well, there are two fundamental problems. First of all, I'm not elected. And secondly, you're a convicted felon. So you couldn't vote if you could. But I was walking into the city of Louisville, and they had one of these cars sitting there. And it was a slick top car, an unmarked car. But it did have some little black boxes on top of it. And they looked like CD-ROM drives that you used to get. You know, there's about 2 or 3 inches tall and couple of inches wide, and they were glued to or affixed to the top of this car, and one had a kind of a panel to it that was facing front, one on each side facing directly to the side, 2 facing diagonally back, and 1 facing exactly back. And I walked in through the sergeant's office, and I said, what's the deal with all the black boxes on top of the car? And he goes, that is the most annoying car I've ever had to drive. And I said, well, why is that? He goes, because it sits there and it runs plate. It's an optical scanner. And so I'll be driving down the road. He said, you have a choice between a male voice, a female voice, and a computer voice, but it will simply constantly read off plates. And so you'll be come to a stoplight, and it's reading every car around there. And it'll go, the car to your left has warrants. The car behind you has warrants. The car to your left has a gun. No, it doesn't say the gun. But it does talk about it's running vehicles all the time. And it's looking for wants or warrants or warrant checks. And so he says, it's kind of annoying because you sit there, and there are times when you don't want to make an arrest. And it's the only time I really crank it up is when I have a prisoner in the back and I'm transporting them. And I just let them have to listen to it all the way there. And it constantly reads it. But that's wild technology. I mean, that really is kind of amazing. And it's simply running off that information and, of course, that database. So that verification process is part of what I think we're looking at the point you have registration. Here's my question. At some point, and right now I know if that system is only working off of warrants, fed into the NCIC, TCIC, or in our area we have a North Texas task force. It's an agreement between all the cities to share their Class C warrant databases. And so it will run for any of those cities or anyone else on NCIC, TCIC. But when it's that same tool, of course, becomes a real issue. Can you use that for insurance verification? And if you could you run Texas Sure through that? And then the third question is, if you could, would you really want to? You know, running everybody's plates all the time to see if that vehicle has insurance? Well, maybe that's good. We better hire a whole lot more police officers. Yeah. Well, I would say they do, but I don't understand why so many are so difficult about verifying insurance. But yes, they would, because it would encourage people to get insurance. And the other thing about this, and I've kind of been ragging on the system, but I will say honestly, insurance, it just absolutely amazes me that we're not tougher on this. Insurance, when you've been hit by someone who doesn't have insurance, you know, that's a pretty major event that happens in your life. People should have insurance. I mean, that's the law. That's what we depend on. That's kind of what makes our economy work, or does it? Yes. Well, as an attorney, I can say this. You always, when in doubt, say no. And so I think probably what's happening here is that the insurance policies, their corporate attorney is advising that this is private information. You need to be careful with it. We don't hand it out to just anybody. So part of it is truly a balancing act between what's private and what's contained and privileged. And so I think that's part of the issue there. What about personal information? The operator of a motor vehicle on Texas roads and highways shall carry and present upon request by a law enforcement officer or a person with whom they are involved in an accident proof of financial responsibility. Is that new? No, that's the old law. And it's the same law. It's the law we have. You must still carry. Texas Sure does not change your requirement of carrying insurance. It's my opinion that if a police officer that does have access to Texas Sure, goes through Texas Sure, receives verification that your policy is good, if you do not have that policy in hand, you've still committed an offense. Failure to present proof of financial responsibility. Still, now, there was a bill that had been filed that did not make it passed because of, again, that legislative issue. But it was one that's saying that if they can receive confirmation through Texas Sure, that's an affirmative defense. So that there was a way out. But still, the current status of the law is even with Texas Sure, it does nothing to the requirement that we carry and present upon request to a peace officer or someone with whom we've been involved in a traffic accident proof of financial responsibility. Which brings up the other thing. When I say proof of financial responsibility, we all know that means what? What's the offense? People refer to it as no insurance, but is that really the only way that you can present proof of financial responsibility? No. There are seven versions: posting bonds, cash amounts on file with the Attorney General, Secretary of State. There are other ways that you can do it. Does Texas Sure take into any of that information? The answer is no. And so I think that's part of the process is that, yeah, even if you have Texas Sure, it's not going to cover that. But the point is, if it says that you do, then why do we care? But Texas law requires every driver to continue to carry minimum liability insurance coverage or other financial responsibility. And while Texas Sure will provide accurate and timely electronic verification of insurance, the driver of a motor vehicle must continue to carry the proof. Yes. Oh, that's dangerous. Bad? No, they will receive weekly is the slide. Texas Assure, yeah, it was weekly. Every week, insurers will provide, Texas Assure will automatically check whether your vehicle is properly insured. I don't know, it really reads more like a sales brochure. Oh, no, that's okay. As of April 1st, 2008, I like that date, the effective date, April 1st. Is that anyone being funny? April 1st of 2008, the Texas Transportation Code 601072 requires minimum coverage of $25,000 per injured person, up to a total of $50,000 for everyone injured in the accident, and $25,000 for property damage. It's referred to as a 25-50-25 coverage. That is state law minimum insurance requirements. I don't know about you, but if you've been involved in a traffic accident, it does not take much to hit that max. Matter of fact, you hit one good Escalade, you're done. $25,000 per injured person, $50,000 for all injured parties. That's a pretty low threshold that Texas has. It won't cover much. And if you have three or four people injured and anyone injured seriously, you max out at $50,000. That's hardly anything at all. And even $25,000 for property damage. If you're talking about a vehicle, they're not a whole lot of cars, but that is state minimum. I carry significantly more because I think people will perceive, little do they know, they will perceive that we have more money and therefore we're suable. These limits, however, are going to increase to $30,000, $60,000, and $25,000 on January 1st of 2011. So 2011, we're going to have an increase. That's the good news. The bad news is, it's only by $5,000 on two of those categories. Not much. How about information, privacy, security? Well, of course, believe it or not, there is no general right to privacy regarding whether or not insurance coverage is in effect for a particular vehicle or driver. Tell that to some of these companies that refuse to tell me that. However, there is something called the Federal Driver Privacy Protection Act. I had never heard of it until I started doing this presentation. And I think now that's probably where those major companies are coming up with this, is they have a corporate attorney sitting somewhere in some other state. His job is to make sure that they have compliability with all the requirements of federal and state laws, and he reads this and he goes, well, here's a simple answer, we don't tell. So the Federal Driver Privacy Protection Act and other Texas regulations do limit some of the information, and it cannot be used for any other purpose other than verifying each driver has auto insurance meeting state required minimums for coverage. Who are authorized users? If there's one slide I want you to pay attention to, because we're close, but if there's one slide I want you to pay attention to, this is it. Because this is a current status of Texas Assure. At this time, access is limited to law enforcement and vehicle registration offices, as these entities are vital in helping reduce the number of uninsured vehicles. Law enforcement and vehicle registration. That first slide that I showed you, what did I have listed on that first slide? Inspection stations. I called and asked how we can rectify that, and she said, well, it's really pretty simple. And vehicle inspections get their information through the registration and the database on the card. Okay, I get it, but they're not getting it through Texas Assure. Is that what you mean? Yeah, but it's going to be held by that. Okay, so important slide. Only two entities or two kinds of entities have access, and that is law enforcement and vehicle registration offices. How about municipal courts? No, you do not have access, and it is the state's position that you should not be accessing Texas Assure. Your courts should not be. Now, I guess back in February, I was in the Houston area, and we taught this class, and I said, how many people in here, how many courts are using Texas Assure? It must have been about 25 courts that are using Texas Assure. And I said, how are y'all getting access to Texas Assure? Does anyone, amnesty time, does anybody use Texas Assure for their court? You do? That's how most people are doing it. Yeah, that's correct. Here's my problem, though, is that, and I really don't have a problem with you using it that. What he's saying is the question, or what his answer was, is that he has a terminalist tied into their law enforcement agency's dispatch, and so he's not really making the inquiry. It's really being made as a law enforcement inquiry. Some people are saying, well, you know, our court clerks, you know, they're really there on law enforcement. Now, is that true? They're really not. So I think we're walking a fine line. Now, I think you could say, well, it's the verification process that I'm using, and many courts have verification. I'm not really saying it's right or wrong. I am telling you the state's position is that courts, municipal courts, and any other form of the judiciary does not have access to data. Texas sure. So I've had some clerks say, well, what we're really doing is we're getting the police to access it. However it's happening, I'm just saying that either way, right now, by law, only law enforcement agencies or vehicle registration offices have direct access. It does hit me a little funny as they trust us to collect their money for them, but they don't trust us to check their insurance. What's up with that? So, but I think it's an extension of it. There's just a fine line that we have to walk. For that matter, I know some courts that claim that they can use the NCIC, TCIC database to research information on defendants. And I know this is true. Texas DPS, who maintains the protocols for that, says absolutely not. Access to criminal histories is limited only to law enforcement agencies, only with a law enforcement agency, and only by personnel who have received their certification to do so, and only for direct law enforcement-related inquiries. It's a very limited protocol, and they take it very seriously. Yes? I don't know. I know that in Denton County they had a shakeup because DPS came in. They were concerned at the number of people who had access to their to the database, and they were upset. And they went through and kind of you had to go. They had like a 2-week re-indoctrination, and there's still people inside the Denton County Sheriff's Office that can't access it. That kind of makes sense, and it's kind of in the law enforcement process, and I understand all that. I'm just saying it's a fine line, and of course, at some point, I think judicially we have to be very careful about where how much of our inquiry is being made judicially and how much of it's being made. Someone said, well, what if you have your bailiff, who is a law enforcement officer, make the inquiry? Okay, yeah, but he's making a direction. I'm just saying that there are some issues there that you probably need to be aware of. Can a driver access the database? No. The only entities allowed to access the database are, again, Texas Department of Public Safety, recognized law, state or local police agencies, and registration offices. If a vehicle is sold, the law's been there fairly clear for a long time. You do have to file what's called a VTR, Form 346, and it's supposed to be done within 30 days from date of sale. That's an old law. That's nothing new. And the reason, again, why this is so important is we are beginning to tie so many things together with the registration or the tag numbers on vehicles. Enforcement of, you know, their position is if even if you go through a toll tag booth and you don't pay and they send you notice to the last registered address, the registered owner is liable for that. It could be held criminally responsible. Red light tickets by photo enforcement. You run through those photo enforcement, you don't pay them, they are going to send it to the registered owner of the vehicle and they will consider it a liability and the presumption goes with that liability. It will verify spouse's insurance because, again, they're tied to the same vehicle, so it goes off of registration numbers. Just one or two, real quickly, hey, what about probable cause? People who are, if a police officer is making inquiry and they stop a vehicle, and they run Texas Shore, or if they're just sitting at the light and they call in through Texas Shore to see if they have insurance, do they have reasonable suspicion to stop the car? I don't know. I think probably reasonable suspicion for a stop. How about probable cause for a search? What about the one time that you find 3 pounds of methamphetamine sitting in the back seat after a stop because of Texas Shore? Suppression issues. I don't have the answers to that. It's a new world. It's a new technological age, and we're going toward there. Texas Shore is a good start. It's an unfinished project right now, but I hope that they work on it. Go forth and have fun. And I lied about getting you out of here early. Yes, ma'am. But I would not leave any form of electronic computer or anything else like that. We are not, I mean, the hotels will not protect you for that.